on your podcast platforms, wherever you like to get those, except Spotify, because I'm pretty sure they will take down an all music show pretty quickly.
Yep.
But yeah, it's true. It's true. But you can get us on Google Play, if that's still a thing, and Apple Podcasts, as well as SoundCloud. So go do that. Listen to old shows. There's some really good ones. This one will be there as well. But we do have Kane Price, Matt Wilkins in our studio. We're chatting music. We're chatting your new video for A Moment, which came out earlier this month. And we're playing some of your favorites from in and around the city. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you.
So what have you got? So you've released this song, again, with the video. What else is coming down the turnpike for you here? Like, do you have songs in the can ready to go, or?
Hell yeah. I got them locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded.
Yeah.
You are a very locked and loaded kind of artist. Ready to go.
Yeah. I get that a lot. I'm working on some stuff right now, actually. I was actually working on something before I came out here.
sorry to interrupt your day.
But yeah, just like chipping away at, I think an EP kind of right now. I'm always so bad at like planning it ahead, you know? I'm like, it's a collection of songs. There might be three, there might be five, there might be seven. But yeah, just like slowly chipping away. It's pretty great. I was just recently left a day job that just had like a chokehold on my life.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like returning to music now because I had taken like a year-long break from it, essentially, as I was kind of like, you know, trying to not get fired.
it's either or, right?
Like, exactly, yeah. Right? So there's some stuff coming. But probably like spring, summer, there'll probably be some new tunes coming out. There's a couple of them that are like pretty damn near finished, so it'll be soon.
Cool. So now these are all like new songs. You're not like reworking songs that you've been playing with for years. Like, these are freshies.
Yeah, brand new songs. Yeah. All new material. I'm pretty excited. It'll be the first new stuff in like quite a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been slowly kind of putting singles out, but this next one's going to be, I think, a full EP or LP.
Hell yeah. That rules. And then we'll see some tour. We'll see some show.
Hell yeah.
Let's go. Are we genre switching at all? Or are you like keeping it in the same ballpark, you figure?
I think it's going to go even more electronic than before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And a lot more, a lot more electronic, a lot more kind of like asymmetrical, kind of weird sounding stuff, and a lot more beat driven stuff.
Okay. Cool.
There's going to be some stuff, some like head bobbers this time around, which I think fans might be kind of chomping at the bit for, because I think the past few releases I've had have been a little more kind of flowy. But these next ones, not so much.
Yeah, it's always interesting with your music is I always find the instrumentation in your music to be like a secondary element to it, because your voice is so unique and like it's all very melody driven.
Mm-hmm.
But like instrumentally, it's always really interesting as well. It's just kind of like, it's hard to pay attention to both things at once. So it's interesting that like you're really focusing on this kind of a beat or instrumental. Is that usually where you go first when you're writing music? Do you go instruments first and then attach a melody, or is it always not necessarily the same way?
I almost always take the singer songwriter kind of approach.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll write something just on the guitar or on the piano. And then once I'm satisfied with it, I'll sit down at the computer and start to kind of plug stuff in. And then usually just kind of pick it apart in the process, you know? So I'll be kind of recording stuff in and be like, you know what? I think I'm just going to get rid of the guitar entirely that I wrote this on and like put in a piano instead. Or I'm going to, you know, get rid of the hook and put like a new chorus in or whatever. So it always starts off as kind of like a, really just like a kumbaya style kind of guitar and voice thing, and then I kind of take it to the computer and just chop it up and rework it.
Is it tough for you to like, pardon the overused expression, but like to kill your darlings, like when you like, say, ditching the piano or guitar or, like, whatever you wrote the song on initially, or if you are, in fact, reworking and just ditch the original hook that you have, is it hard for you to see past that? Like, do you get married to those pieces while you're writing?
100%. And, like, I get so fixated, too, on something. Like, I have to, like, almost convince myself to change something, you know? Like, I'll just be sitting, and I'll sit there for hours just in my little home studio just listening to the song over and over and over again, which I'm sure my girlfriend, like, loves. and just, like, trying to figure out whether I should keep something or ditch it. And, you know, sometimes that process can take, like, a month, you know, of just listening to it and just being like, oh, no, I think it should stay. And then just being like, you know, a couple weeks later listening to it again and being like, no, I'm taking it out. And then a couple weeks after that being like, I should put it back in. It's a very long process of, yeah.
It sucks being a musician, man.
Dude, it's the worst. I hate it.
Well, I guess that brings me to, like, my favorite question to ask musicians, because I love hearing people's methodology in songwriting, because it differs for everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Especially, like, depending on the genre, too. But what is it for you? When do you know that your song is done? Like, when can you, like, put a bow on it and you're like, this doesn't need anything else to it?
Honestly, oh, man, that's such a good and hard question. I feel like, I think usually if I have the same test, actually, that I do for every song, is at my studio. I'm almost always kind of, like, sitting down at the desk and, like, working things through. And I don't know why I do this, but at the end, the song will be more or less finished, and I'll press play, and I'll just get up and walk circles around the room, and I'm like, if I can just kind of, like, get lost in it and be kind of walking and, like, bobbing my head and, like, imagining myself as somebody listening to it, I'm like, then it's done, you know. If I'm pacing around the room and then something stands out and I hear it and I'm like, oh, wait, no. And I have to sit down and change it, then it's like back to the drawing board.
Sure.
I guess that was a really long winded answer. But because I essentially just said I pace around. And if I'm able to continue pacing, then it's a win.
but like that makes sense. Like, everybody has, like, I know there's people I know that it's the car. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll play the mix in the car, and if it works in the car, then it works.
Yeah,
like, then it feels done. Or I have other friends that are just like if we play it live and people it hits with people, then we know it's done.
Totally.
But if it doesn't hit, then, like, okay, we gotta tweak it. There's something wrong. There's something not working. So, like, the fact that you're pacing and you're trying to get lost in it, that makes sense, because I think that's how a lot of people consume their music, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they want to be able to be transported somewhere else.
Yeah.
So if you can do that to yourself, then you did it. Cool. Let's move to another local artist that you recommend. This is a group called Daycom.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about that, like, why you like them, and specifically their song Blemish that we're going to play next?
Mm-hmm. They're great. I've been following these guys for a while. They're a couple of friends of mine, Colton and James. I just love the music, because it's, like, very... kind of that, like, you know, that, like, lo-fi sort of angular, like... what's the word? Dark wave? Is that the
genre?
Yeah. It's kind of got that vibe to it. And I just love it. It kind of just makes me feel kind of mysterious. I love what they're doing.
One of my all-time favorite descriptors for a type of music is angular. Yeah. When somebody describes music as angular, I know exactly what they're talking about, and hell yeah, I'm all in.
Exactly, yeah. It's razor sharp.
Razor sharp. All right, let's get to it. This is Blemish by Daycom off of their EP 2. You are listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. We'll be right back. Blemish by Daycom here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM. We have Cain Price in the studio. We're talking music. We're talking new music video. Video for A Moment dropped earlier this month. Go find it on YouTube. Really cool video. Again, congratulations on that release.
Thank you.
It is like really like you did a really great job on that.
Thanks.
So you've got like, you're going to be moving here shortly, hey?
I am.
Yeah, like you're going to Montreal.
I am. Montreal.
Hell yeah.
It's official. Yeah, I've been like trying to decide whether or not whether but when to post about it.
Cool. Well, I told everybody now.
So. No, it's perfect. We talked about it before. You're like, can I tell them? And I was like, you know what? What the hell?
What the hell? What the hell?
So for those of you out there that don't know, I am leaving the province.
And surprise. It's your fault.
And it's your... I'm going to be moving out to Montreal at the end of this month. To just go check out the scene there. That's about it. I'm going to maybe go back to school. I don't know, you know. We got a few pals out there, and we've heard good things about kind of the arts and culture in the city. So kind of just decided to bite the bullet and go do it and see what's going on.
Have you had much interaction with the scene out there? Like, have you played there before? Have you seen shows there before?
No, I'm kind of familiar with a lot of the stuff that's going on just by virtue of like social media. But haven't ever, I think the last time I was out there was when I was like 15. So it's definitely a fresh experience, for both me and my girlfriend who are going. It's kind of one of those things where I've just like heard so many good things about it. You know, so many people are like, wow, Montreal is like a great place to, you know, A, play shows, B, go to shows. I think that was kind of one of the big driving forces was, we were just like, oh, we just really want to know firsthand what it's like.
Yeah, I feel like you'll fit in there. Like, I think that they're so diverse in the music, in the music that gets popular there or, like, that finds a home there. Because I think that everything from just, like, really sloppy punk to like, really beautiful singer-songwriter, like, soundscape type things.
Yeah.
And, like, that all rules. And I do feel like there's less of that... like camaraderie here or less room for those independent scenes to exist here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I don't know, as you gear up to leave Vancouver, like what has that experience been like trying to break into the scene here? Cause like it is a tough scene to crack.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It's, it's like frustratingly hard to crack, I feel. And I think by no fault of like, you know, not to disparage the Vancouver music scene or the city in general, because I feel like there are so many talented musicians, and so many, you know, awesome, open, friendly, you know, nice people. I think maybe just like just the hustle and bustle of life in this city maybe just kind of lends itself to people being kind of isolated and kind of siloed and. It was a weird experience kind of like trying to get into the music scene here because it is, it's hard. It's really hard.
In the city, like the city itself does a really thorough job of kind of like choking people out of it, right? Like there's not a lot of places where somebody can get a lot of eyes on them to play a show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like. Well, yeah, I was watching, it's so funny, I was watching this mini documentary about the music scene in Montreal by comparison, and a lot of people that they were interviewing, they were just like, oh yeah, like we're trying to get performance spaces and like studios and stuff, and they were like, but the rooms and the buildings are too big. I was like, excuse me?
First of all, how dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? I think that's a big thing here, yeah, is it's like, you know... there's a DIY space getting shut down every month. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and like there was always like there has been magical spaces that have existed, but sometimes they've existed for like a year and a half, and then they disappear.
Yeah,
and then just like it's hard to really like really develop a scene that is diverse in terms of its sound.
Yeah.
There. So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's always hope.
Always.
You always have to have hope. But we will miss you.
Yeah, I'll miss you too, Jamie.
but all the best in Montreal. I do hope that you find that home really quick in that scene. And I think it'll be more than welcoming of your music. So
hell yeah.
I do want to play another one of yours before we go here. This is a single that you released in August of last year.
Yeah.
It's called Please. Can you please tell me? It's really good. I've been doing this for a sec, Matt.
All right, shows.
Can you tell me a little bit about this track? When you released it, we didn't get a chance to really chat with you about it. Give us the lowdown on Please.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect kind of intro coming off of the conversation we just had, because Please is written, was written out of kind of the frustration of, like, you know, just feeling really isolated and alone as a musician, and just kind of, you know, just in life in general. Not to beat the social media thing to death, but like, you know, being like, oh, I'm always on my phone, and like, you know, I'm craving interaction with people and with other musicians and stuff. And so I kind of wrote the song in that way of, like, from the perspective of somebody who, you know, is like trying to tell everyone that they want to be left alone, but secretly they don't, you know. And, you know, cause kind of being like, oh, I can do this all on my own. I'm fine. It's kind of just touching on that theme.
Yeah, David, do you find that sentiment is shared with some of the other people that you've worked with in the community?
Oh, 100%. I feel like most of the musicians I talk to complain of the same thing, that it's just like, and I don't even think it's like, to call back to our conversation, like, I don't think it's a Vancouver thing necessarily. I think it's just like, you know, nowadays bands are, I mean, first of all, getting smaller, I feel. Like, there's so many more people who are just doing, like, what I'm doing, where it's just them. And, like, everything's online, and there's not as many opportunities, I think, to interact and form communities online, because you're just busy, like trying to sell your quote-unquote product or whatever. And, like, yeah, so I think a lot of people are struggling with that kind of erasing of community that I think has happened in the wake of this sort of social media kind of taking over the music scene.
And I mean, with the pandemic too, right?
Like, and the pandemic,
that was just like, that's where people went during that time.
Yeah.
Got pushed even more online, even though we were already kind of there. Do you see, force you to get all prophetic here, but do you see a world where maybe people get kind of like figuratively throw their phone away and are just like, I need to go to the shows, I need to get back out there again?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I kind of hope that, you know, either, you know, not even necessarily that happens, but that people kind of just get pushed into a space where, like, that our phones are more of a tool to connect kind of scenes, you know, that it's like, you know, not so much just, you know, you get like a promoted post from a musician that's just like, hey, please buy my new, like, please, pre-save my single or whatever. And instead you actually have like communities of people springing up and like building things together and creating scenes together. And I really hope that that's kind of where we're going with social media. And I kind of think it is going to happen, because it's like, I think more and more people are getting fed up with the whole like promotional shtick that we're all sort of kind of getting sucked into as artists.
Yeah. I think I totally agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think people are kind of like over having to do all this work for just like maybe one or two other sets of eyes. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be able to organically grow all that together.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, totally.
Not even like you scratch my back, I scratch yours kind of thing, but like legitimately care about the work that other people are doing.
100%.
So, that's a great way to go into the song. This is Please by Kane Price. You are listening to it on the Vancouver Mixtape. All right, that is it from us here tonight on the Vancouver Mixtape here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Thanks so much for joining me in studio, Matt.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me.
I look forward to when you return. We'll get you in here again. We'll chat some more. And we'll just do this and see how you're doing.
Right on.
Playing new stuff. I feel like you're one of those guys that, even though you maybe relocate, you always have a little Vancouver artist in your heart. So you auto-invite.
Auto-invite
back.
Hell yeah. We'll do Zoom call.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Folks, you can find this on your favorite podcast listening platform, unless it's Spotify, which you can't. But you can find it other places. We'll be back next week in a couple weeks with another show. Until then, thanks so much for listening. West Indies Culture Shock is up next.
Bye,
good night.
Everybody. Bye.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you live from Burnaby Mountain.
This is Bird Note. Perched atop a cactus in the American Southwest, a strikingly patterned brown bird sings a gravelly refrain. Its harsh, foreboding quality seems to capture the mood of the arid, thorn-studded landscape. Our singer is the size of a red-winged blackbird, but it's a wren, a very large one, called the cactus wren. Most wrens in North America are small, furtive birds that stay deep in the vegetation. The bold, brassy cactus wren is the northernmost species of a group of tropical wrens, all big wrens with complex social behavior. You might see a whole family group of cactus wrens foraging together in search of large insects and cactus fruits. These wrens are well adapted to the desert and can get all the moisture they need from their food. Cactus wrens are a regular sight in their range of dry habitats from West Texas to California. The nest looks like a football made of twigs stuck horizontally in a thorny tree or choya cactus. The nest is easily seen, but well guarded by the spiky vegetation. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
And now, stay tuned for...